Deuteronomy 30, beginning with verse 11. For this commandment which I command you today is not too difficult for you, nor is it out of reach. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will go up to heaven for us to get it for us and make us hear it, that we may observe it? Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will cross the sea for us to get it for us and make us hear it, that we may observe it? But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may observe it. May God be pleased to grant us grace and help in the proper understanding of His Word. As mentioned, this is another one of those texts in the book of Deuteronomy, quoted in the New Testament, and we've already looked at several of them. Now we're at the point of coming to the end of the book of Deuteronomy. There are several more texts to be studied after we look at some texts in chapter 32 in the Psalm or Song of Moses. We will go back and look in the middle of the book of Deuteronomy at several texts that are quoted to help us in our understanding of the Christian life. And I think this is also quite important. But today we come to the end of this great book, toward the end at least, where the people of Israel are on the plains of Moab. They are prepared to cross the Jordan, and as they are prepared to cross the Jordan, Moses has given to them once again this covenant, these words from God, and he is reminding them that when they cross the River Jordan and encamp between two mountains which they can see on the horizon to the west, Gerizim and Ebal, when they encamp there, they will be renewing their covenant with God. And this covenant first gives the Ten Commandments. Chapter 5 in Deuteronomy. And then in the sixth chapter, immediately following, are those great words, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. And this is the theme of this wonderful book, the love of God, and how that love ought to be carried out. And then there is, in the body of Deuteronomy, an exposition of that love as it comes to us in the Word of God, the commandments of God. When we come to chapters 27 and 28, there are blessings and cursings. And Moses has just given those to the people. And now, in the chapters 29 and 30, Moses is reminding the people who they are, what God has done, and presenting them once again with His Word. And he says to them, in our text this morning, in essence, the word of faith, which we have been discussing, is not far off or difficult. It is close. It is as close as the Scriptures and as close as the illumination of the Holy Spirit. And it is freely confessed with our mouths and is as close as the Word in our mouths. And that's what our text is about this morning in Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verses 11 through 14. And in this, Moses reminds the people, it seems to me, one of the things he reminds the people of anyway, is that the problem in keeping the Word of God is never with the Word of God itself. The problem is always with us. That's where the problem lies. And as Moses sets before us this morning this text in Deuteronomy 30, we need to be reminded that this is the case. Turn back with me, would you please, to the sixth chapter of Deuteronomy. I just quoted it, but let's look at it. Good to read the Word of God. I think we ought to preach on the Bible as the primary training aid of God. And one of these days I'm going to do that, because I think it is God's principal training aid. Deuteronomy 6:5, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might." And as we've said, the book expounds that love. Now go back to where you were, only in chapter 29. You see, Moses realizes the real difficulty. Deuteronomy 29:4. "After giving the people the covenant and explaining the Word of God, Moses says, 'Yet to this day the Lord has not given you a heart to know, nor eyes to see, nor ears to hear.'" There is an absolute necessity for the grace of God. And we emphasize that this is the case when we looked at this particular text in Deuteronomy 29. And I lay it before you today again, emphasizing this same fact, the absolute necessity of the grace of God. And God is not slack in extending that grace. Deuteronomy 30 and verse 6, "The promise of God, 'Moreover, the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, that you may live.'" How is that love to come about? It is a deep work of God in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. It is by causing us to be born again. And Jesus raises that theme in the third chapter of John. "You must be born again," he says. It's an absolute necessity. The grace of God is an absolute necessity. And here is the promise of that grace coming. And on the heels of understanding the necessity of that grace and having that grace in the heart, Moses then says in verse 11 of Deuteronomy 30, "For this commandment which I command you today is not too difficult for you, nor is it out of reach." No, friends, it is not out of reach. For those who have hearts filled with the Spirit, for those who are born again, for those who know God in union with Him. That's what Moses is saying. And the sequence is telling, isn't it? First of all, grace necessary. Secondly, that grace promise. And as that grace comes, the great words given to us, "This commandment, which I command you today, is not too difficult for you, nor is it out of reach." And so it is, dear friends, for those born again of the Spirit. Moses goes on to say, this word is not in heaven, that you should say, "Who will go up to heaven for us to get it for us and make us hear it, that we may observe it?" I say in the outline that God's way is not that of esoteric mystery. It's not the way of just a few knowing God and then attempting to explain it to others. There are some who would like to chase after special gurus who have special insight, and they alone are able to relate to the mass of people the will of God. But the truth is, as we hear so often by the talking heads on television, the fact of the matter is, the truth is, the Word is near. It is given to us. We have it, do we not? Inscripturated. That's the wonderful thing. We don't have to go up to heaven. And God's Spirit brings His very Word home to us by the power of His Spirit. Praise be unto God that this is the case. And verse 13 says, "Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, 'Who will cross the sea for us to get it for us and make us hear it, that we may observe it?'" You don't have to go on long pilgrimages to find the Word of God. Isn't that a wonderful thing? And I note that most of you carried with you this morning, not all of you, I did observe that that was the case, not all of you, but most of you were carrying a Bible this morning. And Bibles are provided in the pews. You don't have to go very far to find the Word of God. You don't have to go on a long pilgrimage. It's a very serious source of consternation to me. And of course, you would gather this might be the case as a pastor, but it's a very serious source of consternation to me that many people will go to great lengths for the healing of their bodies and will go on long pilgrimages to get the proper medication, the proper surgery, whatever it might be, and they won't even go across the street to get information with regard to the care of their souls. It's an amazing truth, a fact, with which we're faced. And the Bible here is telling us that we don't have to go very far at all. And isn't it a wonderful thing that not only are the Scriptures very available, in fact, the Bible remains the most published book in the world today, but there are a multitude of churches, and it isn't very far that a person has to go to receive teaching from the Word of God. Praise be unto God that this is the case. And this is another thing that the Scriptures are telling us. Verse 14 in our text. "But the Word is very near you." This is what we've been saying. And Moses adds this, "in your mouth and in your heart, that you may observe it." And we'll note the meaning of that in a moment. But again, the Word is very near and close. I do thank God that that's the case. Look at Deuteronomy 29:29 and what Moses says there. "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us." Thank you, Lord. "And to our sons forever, that we may observe all the words of this law." Think about this now, dear friends. Moses was able to say, "The Word is near." How many books of the Bible were penned by Moses? Only those first books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And at the end of Moses' life, this was the extent of Scripture. And they had it, Moses says, near to them. I submit to you that now we are far better off. We have far more. We have the Old Testament completed. We have the interpretations of the Old Testament given to us in the Gospels and in the epistles of Paul and in the prophecies in the New Testament. And we have the complete corpus of Scripture. We have the perfect book. We have much more than the people of God did in those days. And we have it more accessible than they had it in those days. And so the words come home to us more closely than even those words that Moses spoke. But the word is very near you. I am glad for that and give thanks to God for that. But Moses is able to say even to the people of God in his day, the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may observe it. And he is able to say that with regard to every person whose heart is circumcised by the Lord God, who is born again of the Spirit. The word is near you. Not just on a printed page, not just in an audible voice, but it is near you, in your heart and in your mouth, that you may observe it. I've used this illustration before, but I think it's applicable in an Old Testament class in seminary. One of our professors would say to us, take a deep breath. And of course, the obedient students, and students were obedient in those days, the obedient students would go, and then the professor would say, you can let it out now. And then he would say, the Spirit of God is closer to you than the air that you breathe. And you can take another deep breath. And Moses is saying the same thing. The word is near you, in your heart, and in your mouth, that you may observe it. Is that close? I don't think you can get much closer than that. It is close, friends, for those born again of the Spirit of God. Now turn to the New Testament and see how Paul applies and expounds these very words of Moses. Romans chapter 10. Romans 10 and verses 6 through 8. But the righteousness based on faith speaks as follows. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down. Or who will descend into the abyss, that is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching. What is it that Paul says the Old Testament scriptures speak about? The righteousness that comes by faith. That's what Paul says these Old Testament scriptures are speaking about. Deuteronomy is not speaking about, dear friends, a righteousness that is obtained by keeping the law. Deuteronomy is a book of the love of God. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And it is a book that expounds the character of that love. And it is a book that says you must be born again. And it is a book that says righteousness, true righteousness, comes from God on the basis of faith. Isn't that what Paul said? But the righteousness based on faith speaks as follows. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? Paul says in verse 8, this is the word of faith we are preaching. And when the word of God is properly proclaimed, faith is elicited from the hearts of men and women. And every church that faithfully proclaims the Word of God elicits from those who hear that Word under the power of the Holy Spirit that faith in Jesus Christ, which is so needed for salvation. Again, what does Paul say? But the righteousness based on faith speaks as follows. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down? Who will ascend into heaven? If we ask the question, who will ascend into heaven to bring the Word of God down to us? We deny the great truth that Jesus Christ came incarnate into this world to live a perfect life, to die on Calvary's cross, to pay the penalty due to people like each one of us for sin. It's to bring Christ down out of heaven and say, there was no incarnation. We yet need to go up to heaven to get the Word of God when it has been brought to us in a most pointed form in our Lord Jesus. And so we affirm the incarnation of Jesus Christ. We say the second person of the Godhead did come in the flesh and lived and died. And what else does Paul say? Or who will descend into the abyss, that is, to bring Christ up from the dead? Do we need to descend into the grave, as it were, to find the Word of God? Do we have to travel that distance? No, we don't. Because our Lord Jesus was resurrected from the grave, and He, in a very graphic way, confirms the truth of the Word of God given to us in the Old Testament. And He sets before us the only way of salvation. He is the risen Lord. And we do not deny the resurrection, but rather we affirm it because we know that the Word of God in this fashion has been brought to us. Again, our text. But what does it say? Verse 8. The Word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching. You don't have to go up to heaven. Christ has come. He is incarnate. He lived and died for His people. You don't have to descend into the abyss. Christ was raised from the dead. And that word of faith, that understanding of the gospel born of the Spirit, is near, very near, in your mouth and in your heart. And verse 10 confirms that this is the case. For with the heart you confess with your mouth, or with your mouth you confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. For with your mouth, as you are enlivened by that Holy Spirit whom God promises. You confess Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, came into this world. He lived the perfect life. He died on Calvary's cross. He fulfilled the covenant obligations given to us. And He was raised again from the dead. And from the heart, you believe in this resurrection. And you say, Jesus is Lord. He is the Lord. He is my Lord. And I am committed with the people of God throughout all ages to serve this Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. The gospel. Righteousness by faith is not difficult. It is plain. We are sinners. Christ is perfection. We do not come to heaven on the basis of our own works. We come to heaven on the basis of the work of Christ. And we trust Jesus Christ, who is the Lord. And Moses says, the word of faith is not far from you. It is in your mouth and in your heart that you may observe it. And so the question then becomes, does it not? Do you confess Christ as Lord? Do you trust in Him as the only way out of sin into heaven? Do you pledge yourself to walk with Him? Today and tomorrow and in all the days ahead in this life, by the grace of God, born again of God, I say to you, the word is not far from you. It is in your very mouth and in your heart. And if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. Let's pray together. Father, bless by your word our hearts. Bless by your word our understanding. Bless by your word and spirit the inclination of our hearts to bend before you, to yield to you, to say to you, I love you, Lord. You are my strength. To confess Jesus, the Son of God, Jehovah in the flesh, as the one whom we follow as the only Savior. Bless our hearts to this end. Work in us, we pray, to be people who do follow You, love You, and serve You. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.